many ways. Someday maybe I'll tell you the whole story, but I was a pastor in Fairfield, just up the road, and from 1993 to 2006, and some good friends are here from there, and brings back many memories. Our children grew up together, and in 2006, the Lord gave us a dream. We looked around and we saw other cities that needed Southern Baptist churches. We looked at Middletown, Maryland, Waynesboro, and Emmitsburg. And so the Lord put it on our heart to start churches there. And so 2006, we started a church in Middletown, and 2008 in Waynesboro. And we didn't get to do this, but the church already is here. So Pastor Gary, I founded the church, and so this is like a dream come true, and there's much more to that story, but Candace and I know we prayed for this church to start years ago, 2006. This was, so this is an answer to prayer, and really thank you for allowing me to be here. I'll get emotional if I don't move off of this subject, and so what I think I should do probably is pray when you get emotional. Amen. And, Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to share your holy word. I pray that you would guide me in the words to say through your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you give us ears to hear truth, give us hands to put it in action, and a heart that will do what your Spirit tells us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a movie a few years ago called It's a Mad, Mad World, and I didn't look up, some of them are laughing, it was a comedy, and I think today if they made that movie it would be a mean, mean world. Wouldn't you say 2020 has just gotten mean? I mean, yeah. It's not been a normal year. I mean, there's just a lot of meanness coming out. There's new words, new ideas that I'm just beginning to learn. Have you heard of cancel culture? Mm-hmm. Have you heard of doxing? Doxing, where if you say something that's not politically correct, they put all your private information on the internet, where you live, your phone number, and I had to write this down so I didn't get it wrong. The express purpose is victim shaming, personal revenge, demonstrating anger or disagreement with a particular community or cause, and intimidating. That's doxing. Cancel culture, or call-out culture, describes a form of boycott in which it attempts to cancel a person. Isn't that nice? Yeah. That is to effectively end their career, whether through boycotts of their work or disciplinary action from an employer. They want to shame you, they want to intimidate you, they want to punish you. That is the new mean people now. Doxing and cancel culture. Give you some other illustration. I give you many, but I just, when we just can't talk about some things like abortion. And the mean people, we just can't discuss, you know, the different sides. And immediately it goes to a personal attack. They want to shame, punish, intimidate, and they say, you hate women. No, I mean, just because I'm pro-life, it doesn't mean that I hate women. Or global warming. There's different views on global warming. I mean, the world's supposed to end in, I guess, 7 years. It was 10 years. And we can have discussed this and not immediately go into, well, you want to destroy the planet. You want to pollute the world. No. Can't we discuss there's different science in here? And we have smart people and we'll work out something. Here I'm going to get very sensitive. Black Lives Matter. If you don't agree with everything, you know, what do they call you? You're a racist! Well, I believe blue lives matter. I mean, amen. I believe babies matter. Amen. I mean, I'm not trying to be a racist, but immediately, mean people go on the attack to intimidate you, shame you, and punish you. And we need to be able to respond to this mean people in a biblical way. And the next slide will tell us how we're supposed to do it. We're to love people, are we not?
Amen.
A new command I give you, love. That's what the Lord says. He says, as I have loved, you also must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We are to love mean people. That is our call as people. If we're going to be Christ followers, we need to love mean people. Even when they dox us, they cancel us, they intimidate, shame, punish. That is how we are to act. And to illustrate how we are to love people, we had the story of David and Saul. Thank you for reading that, Dan. And I'd like to read it again because you might not have read this recently in your devotional time, but this is 1 Samuel 18. And David has already been anointed king by the prophet Samuel, and Saul has already been rejected as king by God because of his disobedience. And David has already killed Goliath. And so we're right after those events. So David secretly is already anointed king. God rejected Saul, and David killed Goliath. And so it says, whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it successfully, that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the people and Saul's officers as well. When the people were returning home after David killed the Philistine, the women came out of all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul, singing and dancing with joyous songs and tambourines and lutes. And they danced and they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. What happened to Saul? Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me only thousands. It's all about him, isn't it? What more can he get but the kingdom? I mean, he's saying, David took my pride. He's, you know, what an ego this guy has, you know, as king. And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. I'm watching that guy. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing at the harp as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it and saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had left Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men, and David led the troops to the campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. From this little story here, let's pull out some things how we are to love mean people. Number one, let's realize that mean people are hurting on the inside. There's something broken within them. They're unhealthy in their emotions, and they need healing and love. Saul was hurting. He wasn't right. And what happens to hurting people? Hurt people hurt people. An adjective and a verb. But hurt people, unhealthy people, will go and hurt other people. So at work, those mean people you have to work with, will you look at them with a little empathy, a little compassion, a little love? Because there's something wrong inside. You know, David didn't do anything wrong, and Saul tried to kill him. At work, you'll have other employees that because of some of your success, they will try to tear you down and make you feel insecure. They'll shame you, and they'll punish you. That's what mean people do. There's a saying I've heard, I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. Well, that is not the Christian way. If it's mean, you don't have to say it. And so some of the brokenness I see here in Saul is that mean people are jealous of your success. So when you're at work and you start getting the sales, what you're doing, you're rising above others, you know, there will be mean people and they'll be jealous of your success. Saul was jealous of David because he killed Goliath. He was a great warrior. I mean, what a combination. I mean, he was a mighty warrior and he could play the harp. You know, he was a great musician. And that combination, not in a worldly sense, but in a spiritual sense, we can be great warriors and great gifted in many different areas, in musician or artwork or whatever you do in life. And that's a great combination. And people will be jealous of you. And that's because they focus on themselves. Instead of celebrating the Philistines were defeated, Saul should have been glad Goliath was killed, that the Philistines, their enemies, were defeated. But everything was about him, and jealousy comes from self-centeredness. And so at work, at home, your neighbors, you know, your flowers are better than the neighbors, and they'll be jealous. And so, you know, mean people are broken because they're selfish and becomes jealousy. Mean people, point B, do not have God in their life. Saul had already offended the Lord and disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord rejected him as king. And so when you disobey God, there are results that happen in your life. You know, when you obey God, you get the fruit of the Spirit. You get the nine fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, and all those blessings. But when you disobey God, you don't get the nine fruits of the Spirit. And so there is a cause and effect here. He disobeyed God, and God sent this evil spirit upon him. And I think of the mean people in this world, all the destruction. They're setting fire to homes with people in the buildings. I mean, the anger. Do you see? These people are unspiritual. They don't have God in their lives. And we need to love them. There's something broken that if you can be this mean that you try to destroy a person's life and get them fired, you know, that's not normal. And that's because God is not in their life, right? And we shouldn't tear them down. We need to build them up with our love. I think of Peter in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, and how in one point in chapter 16, he was speaking the word of God. Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? Do you remember that? When Jesus asked Peter, who do people say I am? And there, some say this, some say this. And Peter says, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus just blessed him and said, you know, I'm going to build a church on that confession. You get the keys of the kingdom. And God is going to use you in a mighty way. And that is chapter 16. And what verse is that? Verse 18. And down in verse 21 and 22, Jesus starts telling them that he's going to have to die on the cross. And Peter says, never, Lord. This will never happen to you. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. You know? So you see how even good people, they can... Peter was good. He spoke the truth, the confession that Jesus is the Son of God. And in just a little bit of while, he's acting for Satan. So mean people aren't always bad people. It's just they're not with God. We're doing something unspiritual. And if that's the definition here... haven't we all been mean people at one time? Yeah, I'm embarrassed sometimes at the shelter where I have let my tongue become a little bit too sharp and not act so loving. You know, I have an excuse. Well, they're probably high on drugs and they're really, you know, or they're drunk because drunks and addicts say mean things, and so I have an excuse. No. There's no excuse. I need to love mean people, right? Right? Yeah. Some say it. Yeah. Oh me or oh my. Yes, I need to be loving. There's no excuse. So mean people are jealous of your success. Mean people do not have God in their life. And mean people fear losing power, position, and possessions. You know, they're so insecure, so selfish. Saul was scared that David would take his kingdom. They just need love. They're so focused on this world, they need to get the Lord on the throne of their life. And so, my whole point here is realize that mean people are hurting inside. Hurt people, and we need to love them. All right?
Amen.
Number two, respond to the curses of mean people with blessings and prayer. What did David do when Saul tried to pin him to the wall with a spear? He eluded him. He ran. He didn't start shouting, "What are you doing? How dare you do that? You loser! You know, you've been rejected by God. Pretty soon I'm going to be king." No, he just ran. You know, sometimes it's better to run from a fight, you know. And I think you mentioned that, how you could have rebuked your son. But sometimes the loving thing is to let God work it out here. And so that's what David did. He eluded him twice. So it's not what David did, but it's what he didn't do in verse 11. And in 1 Peter it says, "Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. To this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. When people are evil to you, don't return the evil back. Do not insult them back. We're to bless people. Don't bless them out." It's funny how that means just the opposite. You know, I blessed him out. I say what I mean, and I'm mean enough to say it. The Apostle Peter here, he said, "Do not repay evil for evil, insult for insult, but with the blessing." You see, there is a blessing. This goes to the back. Whoever would love your life and see your good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. You know, there is a blessing for loving mean people. You know, and we get to choose. What blessing? Do you want the blessing of, "Well, I told him what I thought, you know. I got that off my chest, you know. I told him what's right, you know." Or is it better to not respond, but respond lovingly, and then get the blessing from God? What is the blessing here? It is love. You'll see good days. Do you want goodness in your days? You want love in your life? So there's a cause and effect, that love will come back to you. It's like that boomerang. I remember as a kid, I had a boomerang. It wouldn't do anything. I'd throw it this way, and it never came back. I think the batteries are broken or something. But if you throw out evil, what's going to come back? If you throw out love, what's going to come back? Love. Yes, there is a blessing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, 43, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." We need not just to love them, but we pray for them. We pray for their hurts. We pray that they will be successful. Don't be jealous of the people that you work with. Pray for that they would be raised up, and they'll get their bonuses, that because the whole group will succeed. Don't be jealous. Pray for the success. So we got to pray for people. This reminds me of a story that I heard about a town. And it was a small town, but it had two shops where you could, like two little Walmarts. You remember when there wasn't a Walmart? You'd go downtown to the Five and Dime or the Ben Franklin or I don't know what other. But there were two of them. And instead of working together, they were competitors. And pretty soon they got jealous of each other. And they wouldn't talk to other. And it was the two shop owners were going like this. Well, one night an angel came to one of the shop owners and said, God will answer one prayer of yours, but whatever you ask for, the other shop owner will get double. So if you ask for wealth, you'll get blessed with wealth, but he'll get doubly blessed with wealth. If you ask for health, the other shop owner will get doubly blessed for health. So he thought to himself, what should I ask for? He said, okay, I got it. My request is that I get blinded in one eye. That is wrong is right, yes. Woo! That is wrong. God gives us rain to the good and the bad and the ugly. God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He loves everybody. And this leads us into the third thing about not that we should reject taking revenge on people, on mean people, and instead be kind to them. You see, you know, taking revenge, asking for somebody to be blind is terrible. And so we should not bless them out. We need to bless them with prayers and not take revenge. Did David try to kill Saul? No, he ran, right? And if you know the story, David could have killed Saul. Now, he was a young guy. He maybe could have killed Saul when the spear that was thrown at him. He could have taken the spear and could have thrown it back. But he eluded him. He didn't return with revenge. He didn't insult for insult or evil for evil. He loved him. He respected him. And from 1 Samuel, so we were in 18, now we chapter 24. They were in a cave. David could have killed him, but he did not. And he yelled from the cave once Saul left the cave and said that I was here, I could have killed you, but I didn't. And this is what Saul said. He says, you are more righteous than I. You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me of the good you did to me, and the Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. David could have took revenge. Don't be like the shopkeeper and pray the wrong prayer. Don't try to hurt your mean person. It says in Proverbs 20:22, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord and he will deliver you. See, it's not wrong for wrong. It's not eye for eye or tooth for tooth. We're to forgive and love. As Michael's song said, love and forgiveness at the cross. That is how we are to respond to evil, mean people. Allow the Lord to work for them. You know, what's going to make an impact in the life of the mean person? That you return back with insults? That you return back with mean things? No. What's going to change the life is when you don't return wrong for wrong, that you return with a blessing. When you turn back their evil with something kind. So don't take revenge. Instead, be kind to them. Allow the Lord to work. That's what David did. He allowed the Lord to work, and eventually Saul was killed in battle, and David became king. So these mean people, you think they're winning, but the story isn't over. You're just at the first or second chapter. Wait till the end. It's like the Bible, that, you know, wait till the end. I know we win. It looks bad out there. Lots of mean people, but in the end, we win. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, the Lord will come back. In 1 Thessalonians 5:15, it says, make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. You know, we got to be careful that we are kind. You know, don't pay back wrong for wrong. You know, don't turn into a mean person. Don't turn into a zombie, okay? They're mean to you, and when you return wrong, what happens? You become one of them. And it's so funny how these rioters are rioting against stuff that they're protesting, and they're becoming what they're protesting. And and I don't want to go chase that rabbit, okay? Let me come back, okay? Don't turn into a mean person. Pray for them. Love them. Don't take revenge on them. I think of Jesus on the cross. He's hanging on the cross, and he could have come down from the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels. But what did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive the mean people, the mean things they've done to us. They don't know what they're doing. They're broken inside. Is this easy? This is hard? It is very hard. It is very hard. And so, number four, reply to mean people with truth and never compromise. Yes, I know it is not easy. And the easy thing now is to compromise, not stand up for the biblical truth, to be politically correct. But Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up to him who is the head, that is the Christ. Yes, it is difficult to be like Jesus, to forgive our enemies. But your choice is to be biblically correct or politically correct. We need to speak the truth, but we speak it in love. In Colossians 4:6, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So season how you speak with salt. Don't be salty. Don't be a salty sailor. You know that how sailors can cuss, right? Not that kind of salty. You put salt on to flavor it and make it taste better. And so they're giving you salty language. Just, you know, respond with love and say, well, I'm sorry that's the way you feel, but the Bible says this, or I believe this, or science says this. You know, you just return full of grace, seasoned with salt. You know how to answer. No compromise. You know, in the book of Acts, the apostles had a choice. They were going to either serve God and speak for God, or they're going to listen to men. They called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. There's a hard choice here. They're going to try to shame you, intimidate you, punish you, but you cannot respond back in the same manner, right? We got to speak with grace and love. And you may lose. They're, you know, here the apostles had a choice. They could go to jail, you know, for speaking the truth, or they could compromise and make everybody happy. Everybody happy but our Lord. So don't compromise. Speak the truth in love. You don't have to give up what you hold as true. I mean, just because I offend you with what I believe doesn't make it wrong, you know? Think about that. My words, my beliefs may offend you, but that doesn't make it wrong. But you don't want to say it in a wrong way. So we need to not only pray for the mean people so that they will come closer to the Lord and learn from him. But we need to pray for the ability not to offend them. And that is not easy. We got to seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. To our God, he will freely pardon. I'd like to have a time of prayer, because I don't want to be a zombie. You know, I don't want to turn into a mean person, you know. But I need help. I'm a verbal person, and I can be mean and insulting with the best of them. And I need to know when not to say anything. I need to know how to speak with salt. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer.